And again, remember that if you think of a question while we're talking, write it. We've got cards, or put your hand up. We'll bring you a card, and then we can bring it up here and work with it. Okay? All right. Okay, so again, my name is Vera Wallen. I am the second vice president of the League of Women Voters of our county. And we are very pleased to have been asked to come and do this forum for you tonight. I'm going to explain a little ground rule things and then go from there. Okay? The League has a long tradition of supporting candidate forums and doing this. Okay? This election cycle has had its fair share, I would say, of distractions and controversies and finger-pointing. But the voters have told us that they really want to hear about how the candidates plan to tackle the issues that matter to them the most as people and their local community move forward. Okay, so the candidates here want to do that, and that's why they're here. Okay? Now, you can see their names, and I can't. Turn your cards toward me, guys. Okay. So this is Tim Staggers, Marshall Ohilski. I did it right. Oh, Stephen Best, Vicki Millage, and Julie Tacker. And I want to thank them for being willing to run for office. That is actually a brave thing to do. Even if you disagree with where they stand, it's still brave. Okay? Now, a few ground rules that we are going to have. We want you to silence your cell phones, please. If one goes off with a dance, I was a dancer, I was telling a lady, you don't want me doing that. Come on. All right. We don't have any signs or posters anywhere, but if candidates have equipment that they want to hand out, we can do that towards the end. Oh, good. We're going to turn our signs so you can be seen. Sorry. All right. I want to point out that our runners, and Bud is one of them there. Where's our other runner? Raise your hand. Yeah. Are there, and they'll come get cards from you and bring them up here. Their job is to run up here, and then our sorters are here, and they will sort the cards, and they give them to me, and I get to choose which to ask from there. Okay? So, this forum is designed to provide a nonpartisan setting for undecided voters to hear each person's position so that they can elect the two that need to be on your CSD board. Okay? So that's what we're doing today. So here's how it's going to go. The candidates will have a 2-minute opening statement, each one. Okay? And then we'll do questions. I'll read the question, and we'll go in order. They'll each get to answer 2 minutes for each question, unless it's a yes-no, in which case. Okay. That doesn't happen very often. And so each candidate will be given the opportunity to answer each question. It will be in order. We'll start down there and go this way. Then number 2 will be first the second time. Number 3 will be first the third time. And we continue to cycle through. Okay? And questions are being submitted, as you know, by cards from the audience. So we agree to that. Okay? So we're going to do 2 minutes to respond to each question. So we're going to start with a 2-minute introduction from each candidate. Then I'll read question 1. And they will answer it in order. They have up to 2 minutes each. We have a timer right here, and she has signs that she shows them when they have 30 seconds left. Let them look at that. And then when they are finished with their time, hold that up so they can see behind you. Yeah, stop. And candidates are always good about that, okay? And again, I want to thank you, the audience, for coming to tonight's forum. And please, I've got voter registration forms over here. If anyone in your family or neighbors or something needs one, take it to them. There's still time to register to vote. And of course, everybody, the League of Women Voters wants everyone to vote. So please do that, okay? And again, I want to thank you, the audience, for attending, and I want to thank the candidates for participating in our forum. It's really good that you're doing that. Okay? All right. So we're going to begin with our introduction. So each candidate will introduce themselves. They have 2 minutes to do that. Okay? And we'll start with you, Tim.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am kind of new to this. I just want to let you know that how to introduce myself. I have been with People Helping People for 7 years. I have been with this community center for the last 4 years. And one of my favorite things to do around this community is ring the bell for Salvation Army. I have gotten to know so many people around here and so many stories. And what got me involved in this was as a community center board member, I was always trying to be involved in as many things that happened here to find out what was being done in this community, what was being done in this building, if we could do things better. And I think what really got me to get involved in this was the July Basin Management Meeting. Scared me to all get out. That we have done our best to conserve water, and yet it's not doing enough. Well, my past is in engineering. I was in fluid dynamics. I have water and oil and water purification systems. This is in the 80s, so I'm a little outdated, but I do know what I'm looking at. I was also in aerospace for the next 15 years. I understand, my job was to always go out and find a problem and solve it, and I was the one tasked to do these things. And as I've come to understand all this data that I have come across in the last 9 weeks, I think I'm the best person that can do this.
Okay. Thank you. Marshall?
Thank you. My name is Marshall Ohilski. I'm the incumbent director here. My wife and I have lived in Los Osos for over 35 years. We raised our 2 daughters here. I've been actively involved in the community. I was vice president of Little League. I coached Little League. So we've been actively involved in the community. Why I decided to rerun for election, I think, is what I'd like to just get out on the table. When I ran the first time, I had a platform of 3 particular items that I was going to accomplish. And thankfully, all 3 of those have been accomplished. The first one was, at the time I ran, the district was in bankruptcy. I was appointed the district's representative to the bankruptcy. I spent seemingly endless hours working to negotiate the resolution of the bankruptcy and in court appearances and court hearings, mediation, etc. We resolved that bankruptcy. I'm really proud of that, and that took a big financial burden off of the district, the resolution of the bankruptcy. The second thing that I ran on the first time I ran was to resolve the litigation that was ongoing about the groundwater. There was litigation filed, and previous boards had got involved in the litigation. I, again, was appointed as a representative to that litigation, spending a lot of time, again, negotiating with the county, Golden State, and Sunset Terrace. We resolved that litigation. The third thing that I ran on was the fact that I wanted to do parks and recreation locally. We had that power, the district had that power, but we never really invoked it. So we now have a Parks and Recreation Committee. We have questionnaires out. We're looking for community input to make that a viable thing where we can listen to all members of the community. I'm really interested in hearing the comments and questions so as we move forward, we can go ahead and implement them. Thank you.
All right. And Steve Best.
Good evening. I'm Steve Best, a candidate for the Board of Directors for the Los Osos Community Services District. My wife and I have been living here for 20 years. I'm a retired contractor, but I'm still very active in the designing and engineering and consultant of the geothermal heat pump industry. And currently I'm designing and building a new evolution of green equipment. I've been in the building trades and contracting for 47 years, and the extensive background and experience in the construction of underground utilities and related infrastructure on projects from with Southern California Edison, PG&E, and other gas and water utilities. But my main drive for much of my work over the past 22 years has been the drilling and installing of thousands of ground heat exchangers. Those are for the geothermal industry, as deep as 300 to 600 feet. I have extensive background working with the Water Quality Control Board. As a number one factor in all the work that we were doing is in the training, precautions, practices, and the materials used in the geothermal industry is all about protecting the aquifers. My experience in education has honed my abilities as an engineer to create solutions for problems. One of my greatest skills is being able to think outside the box, to see different layers of complex issues, to work with all the chatter and the noise, and offer creative solutions, as well as developing a sequence of operation for implementing plans and for these solutions. In addition, I am very adept at AutoCAD software and other types of software for creating projects to move forward. I am here today because what this community does on November 8th is too important for me not to stand up and repeat what the county supervisor, Bruce Gibson, said to me in a private meeting just 3 weeks ago. Elections have consequences. And it will work to have our town to be to be proud of and have a cleaner, greener town and a town safe for our children.
Okay, Steve. All right. So, Vicki?
I'm Vicki Millage, and Los Osos is the first place I've ever lived just because I wanted to be here. Moved around a lot as a kid and in my adult life as well. Came across Los Osos via Morro Bay and through a mystery book. No, not a recent one. We bought our house in 2005. We moved here in 2007. I have been chairperson of LOCAC, the Los Osos Community Advisory Council, for 7 years. I've been on LOCAC now for 8 years. It's time that LOCAC got some new blood, so I thought I would move on. I was encouraged by several Lososians who think that I have the knowledge and the skills and the temperament to do the work of being a member of the board. I have been a consultant in the last few years on something like civil discourse and collaborative decision making. That is one of my major skill areas. I also know my way around a spreadsheet. I worked at Apple for over 7 years. I was a senior human resources manager there. And for three of those years, I worked directly for Steve Jobs as the human resources manager for the original Macintosh group. So I can deal with a little stress from time to time, if necessary. And I won some arguments with Steve, so there we are. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And Julie Tacker?
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I have lived in Los Osos since 1971. My parents bought property in 1968. Our family settled here. I grew up here. I stayed here. I'm still here. I raised my children here. And in 2004, I ran for office because I believed in moving the sewer. I was elected and I served until 2008. I served on the Emergency Services Committee at that time. I served on the Parks and Recreation Committee at that time. The Parks and Recreation Committee has gone dormant until very recently, and now I serve again there. I have remained on the Emergency Services Committee all that time. I feel like I know many of you. I think a lot of you know me. But tonight I want to take these few minutes to set the record straight. And that record being, who caused the bankruptcy? I will tell you that the board I was on in 2004 and 5 entered into millions of dollars of contracts that, once recalled, the following board that I remained on could not fund, could not pay those contracts. Those contractors wanted us to sell our fire trucks, sell our water department, sell our garbage department. We filed for bankruptcy protection to protect you, to protect this community. I would do it again. We lost the garbage franchise in the bankruptcy, but we retained our water department and our fire department. I have stood up for this community. I will continue to stand up for this community. Most recently, I found corruption in the district. I found people being overpaid. I call that stealing. And I brought it to the board's attention, and it stopped. If I serve on this board, I will continue to stand up for this community, and I will always have my eye on those who maybe don't have your best interest at heart. I have your best interest at heart. Los Osos is in my heart, and I appreciate your support and your vote.
Okay. So we're going to move on now to questions. And this is the beginning question for us. And by the way, I didn't say this yet, so I need to say it now. There will be two people from this group of five that will be elected. You will be voting for two, and the election is to elect two people to the board. Okay? All right. Why are you the best person for the position? And we're going to begin with Marshall.
Thank you, Vera. Well, I think that my track record shows that I'm an achiever, that I was able to do those three things that I discussed. But I think right now the district's facing two challenges. As I mentioned, we're out of the groundwater litigation, we're out of the bankruptcy, but right now we have to come up with a sustainable water supply so we can make sure that we can provide water for our community in the future. We have a real problem with seawater intrusion. That was what instigated the groundwater litigation. We have formed a basin management committee, which is involved with the district, Golden State, Sunset Terrace, and the county, four parties. And we're working to implement a basin management plan that the court approved as part of that judgment. I have been honorably elected to be the chairman of that basin management committee, and I've served as the chairman of that. We have some challenges ahead to make sure we can retain a sustainable source of water, but I want to make sure that that happens. So that's the primary, or pardon me, the first issue. Second one is we have to make sure that our district is financially viable, because I think it's really, really important that we have local representation. Before the district was formed, everything happened in the county. Now I'd like to make sure we remain viable, so we do have local representation. I have people come over to my house all the time, call me. They know where I live. They know my phone number. So they're able to talk to me rather than have to go through what I would consider the bureaucracy at the county. So I think it's really, really important that we have that local representation and we keep the financial viability of the district at the top of our list of things to do. So I think the fact that I've been able to accomplish the goals that I set out and the fact that I have those priorities. And I also serve as legal counsel to the Morrocoast Audubon Society. I've worked with them on their phase two, the Sweet Springs expansion. So I've been very, very actively involved in the local community, and I think that that's a very, very important thing. I'm the chairman of the executive committee for the Morro Bay National Estuary Program. So I want to continue in those positions to make sure that our community gets adequately represented in all of those aspects. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right. Steve? And do you want me to repeat the question?
Yes, please.
All right. Why are you the best person for the position?
Well, first of all, I think my name says it all. And I think you can ask my wife on a couple of those different points about my ability to solve problems. My skill level at solving problems is unique. I approach everything from a point of view that I just look at things from different angles. I weigh things. I just have the ability to be able to break things down, approach it from different points of view, and I have a very good engineering background, and I've seen and been part of just about every facet of the building industry that there is, everything on from underground utilities all the way up through different types of construction. I also feel as though that there is something that we really need. We need a sense of pride in this town again. We really have lost a sense of who we are, where we're going in this town, and we don't have that anymore. And I really feel as though that we have to have that back. And I really want to. I have really strong ideas on how we can do that together as a community. How we can get that sense of that our longing for this land, and how we really want this to be a town where our kids can go out and play out in the fields, where we can, and not have to worry about them stumbling across, somebody's bedding or walking into somebody's, toilet, or getting stuck on a needle, or worrying about a fire, or just even being able to walk from Los Angeles Valley Road down to Sweet Springs, or just any, just so many different things. And it's just a really strong feeling that I have that, like for example, this park is something that we should have as a sense of pride, a sense of oneness in this town, that we can come here and have events and a place that we can really appreciate as a center of town, some place that we can come together as a community and get over and heal from all the things of the past, learn from the past, but be in the now and work towards the future. And that's what I want to do. That's why I think I'm the best person that can do that, because I have the plans and ideas for that.
Okay. Thank you. Huh? What? Uh-huh. Sorry, I had to make that machine work. This works too. Okay, sorry. Okay. Vicki, again, do you want me to read the question again?
No, I have the question. Thank you. I will bring 10 years of upper management experience to the board position. I have a set of skills that complements those of those already on the board. I've managed an $11 million budget. That was in 1987, when that was real money. I am a proponent of collaborative decision making. I don't know what goes on in the room when the board members get all together. I hope it's collaborative. If not, we'll work on that. I, as chair of LOCAC, and being on LOCAC for as long as I am, some of you may not know that LOCAC is the other half of what would be a city council. LOCAC deals with land use issues. I have been for 11 months out of every year for the last seven years going to meetings for LOCAC, running meetings for LOCAC, and viewing and evaluating projects that are put before us. So I will bring that knowledge of Los Osos to the CSD as well. And I didn't mention earlier that I'm also on the Parks and Recreation Committee for the CSD. I, as chair of LOCAC, would give regular reports to the CSD, so I'm pretty aware of how well the meetings work. And I would appreciate your vote.
Okay, thank you. All right, Julie Tacker.
I've got the question, too. I have no learning curve. I have been attending the Los Osos Community Services District's meetings since 2002. And you all know that if you ever scroll across Channel 20, there she is again. And there she is again, scrutinizing your dollars. I think the most important thing, while Marshall's priority is water, my priority is finances. Your money. That's your money. And this district has a history of wasting your money. Not necessarily on projects or purchases, but through incompetence and through corruption. I bring some of the same things that Vicki does, in that I have served on the Los Osos Community Advisory Council's Land Use Committee. I've attended very many of the Los Osos Community Advisory Council meetings as well. I have strong feelings about the water and the water basin. I have concerns over the Basin Management Committee and the progress that it's made. It has been a year in existence, and very little has gotten done except spending your money. We have one project that's in the hopper that has been on the books for two decades, and it's an intertie between the two systems, Golden State and Los Osos CSD. Finally, we will have some safety net. If one system were to go down, we could tap into the other system and be sustainable in our water and safe for our community. Most important to me is bringing the highest level of services at the lowest cost to you. And whatever that means is where I want to be. And I want to help you see what that is, and I want to bring that to you.
Okay, thank you. And Tim Staggers?
Well, as an engineer, it was my job to make sure that management understood what was necessary to make something work. And as an engineer, it was my job to make the people that had to work understand what they were doing. So I was the interpreter. In this case, we have two sides that do not talk to each other well. We don't, the management in the past at CSD gives us graphs, gives us documents that take forever to interpret. And it's my goal that we streamline these things, that we make it possible for the public to understand what we're doing. This isn't arcane knowledge. This should be very easy for people to understand, but it's not being done. And this is what drives me at the meetings. And this is something that I've been able to do for 20, 25 years, is to make people be able to be educated and be able to come together and create a consensus that makes it work. I don't see it here because they aren't trusted and this is, I'm not saying at this time, we have had problems in the past, and they are trying to get over those problems in the past. My goal is to make it so that CSD can be respected, can be trusted, and we can move on from there. And those take baby steps. We just can't make it work overnight. But trust has to be made because we need help to make this community sufficient in water. So the first thing is, yes, money, and then we go into the projects that make it possible for us to have a sustainable water source.
Okay. So our next question. The Los Osos CSD has a very contentious past. If elected, what qualifies you to help bring people together, and what will you do to re-engage the public? And we begin this one with Steve Best.
Oh, that's one of the main reasons why I'm running for this position. In the process of just talking to different folks about what my thoughts and feelings are about where we should be in this town, things that we need. I really have not been focusing on so much as the water and other sewer issues, because that's been rather academic as far as some of the other, my feelings. But I tend to look at things more from a family point of view. And I've been looking at the issues such as the quality of life issues here in town. And I've been looking at, say, for example, specifically this park. And I see the degradation of this park and at some of the ideas that we look at, things we need to get done, the situation with the homeless population. And we're always crying about lack of funds that we have in this town. They're always crying poverty. And every time we talk about what can we do about this, we always cry about, well, there's no money to do anything. And anytime you talk about the CSD, it becomes a four-letter word. And it you can't have a conversation with it. You know, people cringing and turning up their nose about, you know, oh, we don't, you know, forget it. I just don't even want to talk about them anymore. It's just, you know, the CSD should be something that we should be, that should be our something that we look forward to. We need, and we work for us, and we'll do the things that we need to do to achieve the things we need to in our lives, and protect, help support us in our lives, and we need to be able to have it be an important part of that, and we need to be able to have them support us as well as supporting them, and being part of the Parks and Recreation Committee, I saw there was a very huge gap in that. And that's one of the main reasons why I feel as though that I needed to run, because we need to change that. We need to feel that the CSD is an important part of who we are, and we can't let it go. We can't dissolve it, and we have to maintain it.
Okay, thank you. And Vicki?
Thank you. Not used to this fancy equipment. LOCAC doesn't have it. The CSD has a contentious past, and LOCAC has shared that contentious past. And I am gratified that there, with the number of people who have given me credit for bringing a more congenial, that may be too strong a word, but at least an atmosphere, a way of doing business in LOCAC, so that we don't have any more insults being yelled from the back of the room and people being interrupted. The way I started that process was to remind folks that for us, for any one of us to have freedom of speech, the rest of us have to be quiet. And I just kept that up. Every meeting, I would repeat that, and off we went. Bringing people together. I want more people in the room.
at LOCAC meetings, at the CSD meetings, at the Basin Management Plan meetings. There's a pack of us that go to meetings, and we go to the same meetings, and we frequently say the same things at the same meetings. To bring this town together, we have to get more people in the room where decisions for this community are being made. So I am asking all of you here, all of you watching, come to the meetings. That's how I would bring us together.
Okay, thank you. Yes. Okay. The Los Osos CSD has a very contentious past. If elected, what qualifies you to help bring people together, and what will you do to reengage the public?
Okay. First, I think it's important to understand why there was contention in the past. For there to be 16 general managers in 16 years tells you that whatever the particular manager brought to the table, whether it was self-serving or incompetence or maybe a direction that the community didn't want to go, the community members that are engaged, and I am proud to be one of those, is that we study the issues, we study what is being proposed, we challenge the numbers, and when we see something's wrong, we stand up and say so. And if there's acrimony, it's because so much of the time the boards have sort of bought in to what the general managers were serving. And that's when you have this, maybe somebody says something from the back of the room. And I'm not one to regulate somebody's passion or their personality. When they come to the podium, I want to hear what they have to say. And as far as bringing people together, I think I have a tremendous skills in leadership in that, as far as way back when I led the charge for spaghetti for Letty, and 1,000 people showed up for a $5 spaghetti plate. With information about that child, people came out to support her. Again, I read the documents associated with the seismic testing off our shores, and I wrote letters to the editor and also educated people, and I feel very strongly that my participation in that movement was because of that level of involvement and that helping you understand what was happening to our community at that time.
Okay. And Tim Staggers?
Well, contention is a problem because people feel that they're either being ignored or talked over. And one of my skill sets is communication. And people come to me at Ralph's now or here at the community center and want to know what CSD means. And I've become something of the education candidate to let people understand that there is a CSD and what it actually functions as. To keep people from being angry, you must be able to talk with them. And that seems to be, or has been, my attribute that I give to all organizations that I enjoy being a part of. I really don't have any more of an answer for you. This, to me, is the simplest. If you can communicate with someone, if you do not take your opinion as being concrete, if you can humble yourself to another person's ideology or their thoughts, they will talk to you. And if you can get them to open up, the emotions go away, and we can come to a consensus. I have nothing more. That's, to me, that's that simple.
Okay, Marshall.
Thank you. Excuse me. You know, I think if we look back at the record, I think that the contentiousness has been reduced in the short-term past, or pardon me, the short-term here. I think it was out in the past where there was a lot of contentiousness over various things that were occurring. But I think part of the important thing to acknowledge or to recognize is that I think that the contentiousness has been reduced over the past few years. I think, you know, we had the League of Women Voters come in and gave us the civil discourse presentation, and I thought that was very, very helpful because I think not only did it educate the board on what civil discourse was, but it also educated the public. And I would agree with what have been said. I mean, in the past, people would come to me and talk to me, and I'd say, why don't you come to the board meetings? And they say, because we're intimidated. And that was the big issue. They were intimidated because of all of the controversy or the contentiousness that occurred. You know, and I think the key is, as people have mentioned, the key is to listen. You have to listen. I don't care whether you agree. That doesn't matter. You have to listen. And I think that's one of the skill sets I've shown as president, that I will listen. I may not agree with you, but I'm not going to argue with you. You're entitled to your opinion, and oftentimes people that I may not normally agree with will raise issues that I can all of a sudden associate with. So if I wasn't listening to them because of a contentiousness, I would never get those points. So I think it's really, really important to listen. Again, you don't have to agree, but you do have to listen. And I would just point out for the record, in 2012, the State of California Special Districts Association gave me an award as the board president of the year for the state of California for special districts. And the reason that they gave it to me was to acknowledge my work in listening. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So our next question will begin with Vicki Millage. What are the current financial issues that impact the viability of the CSD?
I will learn to use this by the end of the evening. The CSD has been impacted by having long-term debt that we owe the county revolving fund based on the bankruptcy. And there's the push-pull. Nobody wants rates raised. I get that. I'm in a different water district, and I still get that. And yet, we have to have capital to bring in new resources to fix some of the things that need to be fixed mechanically. There are so many things that need to be done in this community. Many of them can be done by the CSD. Others have to be done by other organizations and agencies. And we might have to accept water rate rises. It's the main point, however, is that the new general manager, Renee Osborne, who will start later this month, was selected in part because of their grant writing experience and success. Grants are one great way to bring in money to pay for the projects that are absolutely necessary.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay, Julie?
Well, the only way that the district can survive is either to cut costs and reduce spending or increase rates. So, something that's maybe you don't know. Let me go through this. The district has 7 latent powers: water, sewer, fire, drainage, lighting, parks and rec, and garbage. Of those, garbage is gone, sewer is gone, one of the 3 lighting districts is gone, leaving parks and rec, which we have no funding and we don't do parks and rec. We talk about parks and rec a lot, and we have laudable goals, but we don't do Parks and Rec. We do fire for all of you, for the whole town. We do water for, in essence, half the town. Lighting in two districts, Vista de Oro, Bay Ridge Estates, and a few drainage infrastructures that we take care of. If we're reducing the services, then why aren't we reducing staff? There's a cost that comes with having a full staff. And that needs to be shown to the board first to make the decision of are we top heavy? And I'm looking for that because we have to cut costs so that your dollars go further to provide the services that you're paying for. I am a roll-up-your-sleeve kind of girl and get things done. And I can do it on a shoestring. I'm running my campaign that way. All those signs, I painted them myself using somebody else's old campaign signs from years ago. I'm not saying the district needs to use baling wire and duct tape to get by. I'm just saying they need to be thoughtful in how they spend your money.
Okay. All right. Tim Staggers.
Well, my focus has been that we must, A, get the CSD to be trusted again by state organizations, government organizations, foundations even, to bring in money here, to cut back on staff at this point, to me, might be premature because we need to make sure that we have enough people when this does happen. And right now, with the way we have a water problem, we have to have enough people fighting to bring money in here. And I really would hate to raise rates. That is my last goal. If it has to happen in the short term, then it has to happen. But in the long term, we must, and this is my goal, is to try and prove to this state that we sit on a lake that is becoming less and less viable to be used as a water source. We are in a state of emergency. They are not taking us seriously. They think that if we get some rain, it's going to turn around. Well, the aquifers don't work that way. It takes years for them to get back up to speed. To try and build a nitrate removal system is going to take a long time. So we must be active in getting out there and telling people that this community is under siege and we must have water, we must have money brought in here to save us. Thank you.
Okay, Marshall.
Yeah, hi, could you please repeat the question? I'd appreciate
yes.
it.
What are the current financial issues that impact the viability of the CSD?
Thank you. Well, I think that I addressed two of these issues in my opening statement, but I think part of the issue that we're still facing at this point in time is the financial issues are carryovers from both the bankruptcy and the groundwater litigation. That was a major distraction to the district. It was a major expense for the legal fees. And quite frankly, we're still making that up. So that's one of the things that was pending from years ago. I think that we did, the board at our meeting last week, we did hire a new general manager firm to manage the district, Grace Environmental, and Renee Osborne, who's going to be our contact person and our general manager in-house, has great skill writing, or pardon me, great grant writing skills. She's been gotten a number of grants for San Simeon, where she's currently acting as the general manager, particularly for a really nice recycled water facility. So I think that grant writing thing is a very, very major part of that component. I would just like to go off on the staff question for just a quick moment because it came up and a couple of people spoke about that. Right now, I mean, we have staff that's really working really, really hard. The board has told staff that until we get a general manager that's in here in a permanent position, you know, you're going to have to just live with it because we're not going to restructure because once we get a general manager, which we now have, we're going to let that general manager decide how the most efficient way to operate the district is. So I really want to give staff a pat on the back for how hard they've been working over the past few years to make sure that the district remains viable. You know, I think my time's up. I'll stop there. I'll pick this up next time.
Okay. All right. Steve?
Thank you. And I will second what Marshall was just talking about. But I had a meeting with Supervisor Bruce Gibson just before I went in for my surgery. And I was talking about the subject about how we're always crying poverty. One of the things I was suspect of is the fact that we are twice the size almost of Morro Bay, and we don't have nearly the things that we should be capable of doing here in this town that we think we should. And it's very frustrating. We're always saying, well, we don't have enough money to do this and that. It became apparent to me, and I just asked him flat out, are we being short-cheated for the funds that we are entitled to for our tax-based revenue? And he said, yes. And this is over and above what we are paying back for our bankruptcy fee, our costs. I said, well, doesn't that seem right that all the people in Los Osos are being penalized for the misdeeds of a few people? And he goes, well, elections have consequences. And I go, well, that's pretty damn harsh. And he goes, well, you know, sorry, but that's the way it is. And I go, okay, so what are we going to do to correct that? And he said, change the CSD. Also, we need to be doing things like it's been mentioned before. We need to be doing grant writing. We need to be pulling in funds from other agencies where we can actually do things. We can actually create things for our Park and Recreations Committee where we can put together different projects, where we can start doing things, where we can tax credits for the people that haven't been able to build on their properties and things like that. But also, we need to be doing fundraisings where we can, if we had the use of the Red Barn and the property, and that funds weren't going to the county, if we had those funds going to us, we'd be able to do fundraisers and events at the Red Barn on a regular basis and do other things that we'd be able to get revenue. And what about the reclaimed water from the plant? Can we get that back in the community and be selling that to our residents as a choice between using potable water and reclaimed water and being able to gain revenue from that? There's a lot of different options that we have, and we're just not taking advantage of it. We're not thinking outside the box and being able to do it.
Okay. Vicki, you're going to begin the next series. Okay. And here's the question. Oh, I'm wrong.
Yeah,
I'm wrong. Thank you. It's Julie. Excuse me. Julie Tacker will begin with this next question. Vera will do it right. How would you regain an improved credit rating for the CSD, like for grants and low-interest loans?
Well, first you have to have audits and financials that are timely and accurate. And that's been what's plagued the district, certainly in the last several years. We got an audit in 2014 that said a disclaimer of opinion. That's the term that the auditor used. And that meant that he wasn't going to say whether it was good or bad because he didn't have enough information. So we did get a clean audit this last just recently. The interim general manager hired a consultant and an outside accountant from Modesto. I would not have done that. I would have found a local firm. But they were able to bring in the numbers and close the books for the following year, 2015. And we had a clean audit. But we're going to need many more clean audits and many more timely reports to the agencies and the banks and things that the district, the people we are accountable to, the district is accountable to, in order to set the tone that we can take care of ourselves. That's how it works. Grant money doesn't save you. Grants come with strings attached. Grants, for whatever it is, oftentimes have so much administration costs associated with it that there's very little money left over to actually do the project. And we want grants for things we need. We don't want to just build something because a grant's available. We don't want grant-driven projects. So I think we need to have a strong and healthy accounting for the next several years before our credit rating, our bond rating, is repaired.
Okay. Tim?
Well, as I said before, sitting in on some of these advisory committee meetings, the graphs and the data are rather obtuse. What we must inform the new general manager is that when they submit a report, we don't have to sit there, or the people don't have to sit there for 40 minutes trying to interpret what is being said. We have computers now. We have color coding. We have different sections where you have transportation costs, you have employment costs. I didn't see that. There were certain entries that I didn't see where they, where our money was going. This, everything needs to be as transparent as possible so we can, as Julie was saying, we have to take those steps to prove to other organizations that we know how to deal with our money, that we have a general manager that will be here for an extended period of time that we can then trust, and then they can trust us. Simple.
Okay. All right, Marshall.
Thank you. Unfortunately, the fact is that the bankruptcy had severe financial consequences. Once you declare bankruptcy, it takes years and years and years to restore your credit rating. That's the result of bankruptcy. Talk to a bankruptcy attorney. Talk to anybody that's declared bankruptcy. That's what happens. So we've been working our way back to try to get to the point where we can restore our credit rating. Our credit rating was destroyed by the bankruptcy. It's a fact. There's nothing we can do about that. Looking in the past doesn't help us. What we have to do is figure out how to move forward. As was mentioned, we had a clean audit in 2016, which is going to help us help to restore our credit rating. One of the things that we're looking at right now, I've served as the chairman of our financial advisory committee. One of the things we're looking at now is what we can do to make sure that we get a clean audit from this point on and how we can present that information in the best possible manner. We've gotten input from our financial advisory committee on how they think we could do this. We've gotten input from our utility advisory committee. Our water company is obviously our biggest income generator, on how they think we could do this. We had one joint meeting, which I thought was a very, very awesome meeting at the fire station where we got a lot of good input. We're going to be scheduling another joint meeting within the next 30 days to talk about how we can move forward to help on this particular issue. But again, it takes a while. And what we're trying to do with the clean audit that we just got and what we're trying to do with the cooperation of our committees and the input of our committees and the public is make sure that we can get to a good credit rating and we can go ahead and start to, this really doesn't impact grants, but we can go ahead and start to get low interest loans or other things so we can start to implement some of the programs that we need to. Thank you.
Steve?
Well, it's pretty hard to do a lot of the things that you need to do to keep the book straight and so forth with a lack of proper staff. So it's important to make sure that the you don't overstress your office and you have the proper and qualified people to work in the office to make sure that the books are kept up to date and the reports are current and accurate, and you don't fall behind in maintaining those reports. So cutting costs by reducing employees has never been my first choice of trying to become more solvent. But there are some of the things that I have not had a chance to look under the hoods, to paraphrase, but looking at other things such as how we, cost of operations of the water district, things like that. I don't know how much has been done to look at the operational cost of those facilities. You know, how are our equipment's doing out there? The cost of electricity to run those, the quality of the pumps, and other things that have been done out there to reduce the cost of those operations. And other things that that we can possibly be saving money on. Also, how can we bring other money into the CSD that would help reduce some of the pressure, such as having fundraisings or getting other volunteer organizations to go to bring more funds into the community, into the CSD coffers. But keeping things more transparent and even keeled is very important. And like Marshall said, bankruptcy is a very powerful thing. It stays on your record for a long time, trying to maintain an even keel. But yes, you have to do things that are going to, give you that breathing room, which is, again, you got to put your creative hat on, and you have to do things that are not just, counting your revenue every day.
Okay. And Vicki?
Well, clearly the path to a better credit rating is to continue to get clean audits. And the way you get clean audits is that you have a very competent person or organization that will follow the money from when it comes in to when it goes out. I've been told that there is discussion about whether to have hire an in-house accountant or an external accountant or accounting firm. In terms of trusting the CSD's finances, at this point, I haven't been in on the discussions yet, but at this point, I would think that for some period of time, an outside accounting firm or person might be more credible to all the folks who are still questioning what goes on in the CSD financially. And, of course, it would be extremely helpful if the accountants were non-accounting friendly. That is one of the main ways for us to get transparency into the numbers, is to have them explained to us in ways that we can all understand.
Okay. All right. She's done, she says. Okay. So, Tim, we're going to begin this next one with you. All right. What will you do to ensure adequate, pure water when the aquifer is depleted in 3 years? I had to leave that in there because they wrote it. I don't know the facts, but anyway. And how will you fund the needed equipment? Do I need to read it again? Okay.
Just to think this answer up.
Okay.
Wow. As I have said this again before, that we sit on a lake, or we are a lake community. Unfortunately, our lake is underwater, so it isn't obvious to people when we are drying up and or turning into salt water. We must... And this came up in the last CSD meeting. There is a chance that we could have a study done that is done with electronics that can actually tell us exactly where the intrusion is, how much water we might have in these aquifers, but we're running out. And the reason, like I said, the Water Basin Management meeting, I walked into that thing and never had a clue that we were losing 200 to 250 feet a year. Well, that is going to make us either have to build new wells out in the eastern part by the creek, which I haven't seen any studies done that allow this to happen. So we either have to start looking at the state saying, if and or when this drought keeps going, we need special financing, something of which that went to Cambria, for either a desal plant, a gray water plant, maybe even get that nitrate removal plant up and running and make it fast. But this is an emergency, and we have to prove to them that it is an emergency, and we have to get them to do their job. Thank you.
Okay. Marshall.
Hi, could you repeat the question? Unfortunately, I had to make sure that the video people were going to be able to stay since I was the one that set that up, so okay. I apologize.
All right. What will you do to ensure adequate, pure water when the aquifer is depleted in 3 years? How will you fund the needed equipment?
Okay. Yeah, I think I don't know where the 3 years comes from, quite frankly.
Well,
so.
I didn't either, but I had to say it because that's written.
Right, I understand that's the question. So. We clearly have more than a three-year supply of water. I think that, as Tim mentioned, we had a very, very good presentation at our last Basin Management Committee meeting about climate change, and Mr. Garfinkel did it, and he did a really, really awesome job. We looked at the precipitation rates that have occurred over the last 15 years, where we are now, where we may go in the future. So we've got a lot of historic data on how we can go ahead and address this issue. The first thing, and I would point out that our nitrate removal facility is operational, so it's obviously not going to provide us with the amount of water that we need. And we do have, in the process of obtaining permits, to drill an additional well on the east side of our basin, which by the further we move our wells away from the ocean, the less impact there is on seawater intrusion. And I don't want to get too technical, but because there are various sources coming down the valley that will help mitigate that concern. So that's one of the things that the district and the Basin Management Committee is currently looking at, is drilling that well on the west side. As far as getting funding, I think that, you know, we can't put this all on our ratepayers, because that obviously was not a problem that they created. I mean, the problem was created years ago. It was created, quite frankly, before the CSD was formed. And when I first moved here, all of the numbered streets past 10th Street were all sand dunes. All that development occurred subsequent to that. That is what's created a lot of impact on the groundwater basin. At that time, nobody thought about it. I mean, it was obviously not a cutting-edge thing at that point, but a lot of development occurred at that point, and now we're having to pay the cost of it and do what we can. But I think we're making progress, and the purpose of the Basin Management Committee is to come up with things that will help us do that. Thank you.
Okay. Steve Best?
Thank you. I was not able to attend the last Basin Management meeting, so I'm not up on all the details, but it does appear to me that there are a lot of things that we are not doing, that are not looking at, that we should be. And a lot of it stems from, I think, with the reclaimed water potential, where and how the water is being taken from the aquifer right now. I'm not really convinced that what is going on, that is how it's being addressed. I've seen some things there that from my background with well drilling and so forth, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, or has set up some flags for me in the past that I didn't get a chance to ask any questions on. So there's, but again, I have not had the the opportunity to really sit down to address it. The as far as the cost of the, what to do about that, there is it is definitely not the we, for example, we need to be able to offer our residents the ability to reduce the amount of water they're using to irrigate their properties with reclaimed, by using, allowing them to be able to use reclaimed water, and we don't have a policy or program set up for that currently right now. If we did, we would be able to cut the amount of reclaimed water, or water that we're pumping out of the ground significantly. If we could reduce the amount of water that we are pumping out, that would definitely create a better situation and help balance things out better. And by definitely using the reclaimed water to in lieu of a lot of the uses that we are currently using it for.
Okay. All right. And Vicki?
Well, the 3 years is certainly a questionable number. And how we fund equipment can't be much different than how we fund things now. There are low-interest loans, grants, etc. But I, for one, if we get into this kind of difficulty, even if we all repurpose our septic tanks, even if we all get down to, as my husband and I have, 25 gallons a day apiece for our water use, I am willing to stand at farmers market on the corner with a bucket soliciting donations if we have to pay for clean water in this town. Maybe we can do a GoFundMe program. We're going to have to get quite creative about this because money is tight. Money is tight all over the state, and we are a small town. We're going to have to make it a loud small town and make our plight clear if, in fact, it comes to that, if our water savings aren't sufficient, if our reuse isn't sufficient. I will do whatever. I'll wear a silly costume. I know where to get some.
Okay. All right, Julie.
Okay, just so you all know, 3 years is a scary number, and that's inaccurate. So that's not what we're facing. We have a basin plan. The basin plan is spelled out for you. I hope you all look into it. If you have questions, feel free to ask. The idea that we would maybe desal and cry emergency, Cambria is in a mess over that emergency. I don't know that I'd want to take that path. First, I'd like to congratulate you. This community has done a phenomenal job in conserving and protecting our basin by using less and less and less. We're in a little spike right now, but we're going to go back to even lower uses, and that's terrific. Tim's says we're on a lake, and just like a lake, there are highs and lows in the bottom of that lake. And so our basin has highs and lows, and in one of those lows, we have seawater intrusion coming in. We need to move away from that. We are causing that by having wells in that path of least resistance for that seawater to come. So that I completely support, and Marshall suggests that the district is looking for permitting to build a well on the east side of town, east of South Bay Boulevard, and that's exactly what we need to be doing. How do we get the money? This, I think, would unite our community. We need our community to ask the state revolving fund to lower our interest rate from 2% to 1%. We have a $69 million loan for 40 years. If we reduce that interest rate by just 1%, we could bring this community $12 million over the life of that loan that we could be spending on our water projects.
Okay. All right, next question. And we're going to begin with Tim. Okay. What is your position?
Marshall.
Oh, I'm sorry. Marshall. Sorry, I did it wrong.
You got excited for a minute.
I'm sorry. What is your position on affordable housing in Los Osos, and how will the completion of the sewer affect this?
I get to lead off on the tough ones. I see how
you wanted to.
That's a very, very interesting question. I think that as we know, well, not as we know, but as some of you know, when the wastewater project got originally funded, we have areas of town that qualify as disadvantaged communities because we don't meet the income standards required. So we do have a high percentage, at least in certain areas, of people that are living below that level. So that's one of the things that I think is really, really critical. When we talk about affordable housing, you know, I think it's important that we're able to provide housing for the people that want to and should be able to live here. I'm talking about the seniors who want to be able to live close to their families. I'm talking about the younger people who want to live close to their families. So I think that's important. But we also are not going to be able to, in the short term here, to be able to have any growth. We're not going to be able to have growth in our housing stock or in our housing market right now. All we can do at best case scenario is to go ahead and if you terminate a bathroom in one house, you know, you can build another house with one bathroom. So that's a Title 19 issue. But right now there's no water available. The CSD is not issuing intent to serve letters. The county is not issuing building permits except for replacement structures. So I totally support the concept of affordable housing, but in the short term it's just not doable in our community, unfortunately.
Steve?
I do believe we have a strong need for affordable housing in this community, but as Marshall was saying, you know, our construction is something that we need to be avoiding right now. But it is a real problem when even the rental market is being priced out of the renters are being priced out of the market here in this town. I hear it all the time with people just not being able to afford the rates for what people used to be able to rent homes for. The problem is we have a lot of older folks that need to be able to live in this area. This is a good area for a lot of families. It's a great place for families to raise their children. And it's a concern. I'm not sure if we need to be thinking about, rather than building affordable housing, whether or not we should be looking at possibly instituting programs where we can possibly looking at want to think about rent control, but that's not maybe the right thought, but having some way where we can having some sort of limit on or control over what rents are going to be in this town so people can afford to raise a family without being able to move to the outskirts of town or move to areas where they're less safe to raise a family. I think that's one of the areas. But we need to first deal with our water and sewer issues and move forward. But at the same time, we need to make this town a town that is safe for our children to live in.
Okay.
Vicki?
Julie and I have been on opposite corners at the farmer's market. And one of the questions that I have gotten, more than any other, has to do with building, development, and so forth. So I tell everyone who asks me that question that when and if we have enough water for any kind of development, my position is that affordable housing has to come first. It's our least served citizen need, and it's our job to provide that if we can manage the water. I've spent quite a lot of time on the community plan update. And by the way, the public draft is coming out in January. It has quite a good description of where and how affordable housing could be included in Los Osos. And I recommend it to everyone. Again, you'll be able to get that from the county website as soon as it's released. All I can do is say, when we get the water, we have to keep repeating that.
I do get that question about development for Los Osos, and I always like to bring it back to what the CSD can do. And the fact is, the CSD is not a land use authority. So what can the CSD do? The CSD can provide services at the lowest price. We can't do anything about your mortgage. We can't do anything about your rent. But if we can keep your fire services and your water services and your lighting and your drainage services low, then maybe you can afford that mortgage a little bit longer.
Okay. Jim?
Well, she beat me to the punch. Yes, that's exactly what we have to do. We have to make this place more economical by being more efficient, by making water cheaper. How do we do that? By making electricity cheaper. We have wind galore here. We have sun galore here. Let's make it possible that we don't pay so much for our utilities that it does help people live here better. And if and when, yes, if and when, and I still say when, we are able to solve our water problems, those are the most necessary things in this area, because those are the people that bring in the stories, the artists, the people that I love to talk to when I'm walking around town. The range of experiences. We need not only the people that have the money, but we also need to bring those people and allow those people that don't have all that kind of money to live here. So we have that range, and we can have some kind of diversity, which is what America is all about. Thank you.
Okay. I can either ask one more question or we can do our concluding statements. And I'll ask, what does the audience want, and what do you all want to do? It's 8:35, and we have to be out of here by 9, or they're going to do this to me. We can do another question? Okay, so here it is. Ready? Name your top three priorities for the CSD, and also name your top three priorities for Los Osos. Are you sorry? And Steve gets to start. So top three priorities for the CSD and the top three priorities for Los Osos.
Okay. I would like... not sure where to start with this one. One of my top priorities for Los Osos has always been the pet pollution problem. We need to do something about the fact that we don't have adequate supply of dog bag dispensers throughout the entire town. It is just disgusting in some of these places where there's just people are not responsible for their dogs, and we need to have an overall comprehensive program about dog bag stations and a public awareness about how to deal with that, because it's a real health problem. It's not just a health problem, but it's also a wildlife problem. It's a marine life problem. It extends throughout the entire community into nature. It's very important. We also have an issue with the homeless population, and we need to be able to deal with that. Because it's bringing drugs into the town. It's also bringing theft into the town. It's creating a hazardous situation in the hills with fire and safety for our children. The other issue is that if we had the CSD should be able to work with being able to provide a part of an enhanced neighborhood watch program so that we have a connection between the neighborhood and the sheriff's department, so things can be actionable between when people call in and have a concern with what they see is going on and whether something needs to be taken care of immediately with a concern, or whether it's something that's connecting the dots and act on it. We need to be able to have additional auxiliary volunteer patrol so that we have somebody going throughout the community almost 24/7 so that we can deal with that. And then we also need to have a CSD that is more transparent and works with the community so that when people need to work with the CSD, we are not treated like we are outsiders. I found that to be true before I joined the CSD, and I found that somewhat true currently.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Vicki?
My top three priorities for the CSD are stable management, which I think we have a good possibility of with the new general manager. And I'm sorry to be so repetitive, water management and financial management, those have to be top-notch. My top priorities for Los Osos are getting a detailed map of the basin so we know for sure what we're dealing with. Dog park. I knew Steve would support me on that.
That's my number one. I should have been my number one.
And water conservation until we get this all figured out.
Julie?
My top priorities for the CSD, of course, I've told you, are finances. It's finances. It's financial health needs to be in order. We need to be able to track its money. Certainly the water for the CSD, we need to have the infrastructure in place to provide the best water to our customers. And we haven't talked about this much tonight, but the excellent fire and emergency services the district already provides. But you may not know it is threatened by finances. If we can't have the right amount of funding to keep the level of service that we want, then it's threatened. My top priorities for Los Osos are finances, water, and our emergency services. The finances of our community, whether they be something that funds a county park or a county service, those are worth fighting for as well. But those are our tax dollars as well, just like we talk about the CSD money. The water, it's a shared basin. We have to get along with Golden State and Los Osos CSD, S&T Mutual. We have to get along with the farmers, and the water has to be, we just have to get along in that or we threaten the basin. And then again with emergency services, we have I want to say this gingerly, but I'm getting older, so some of you might be getting older too, and I worry that our emergency calls, we're averaging about 100 a month. And with their senior population, we want to be able to meet your needs and that our community is as safe as it can be.
Okay. Tim?
Well, first is make sure management can talk to the people. Transparency has been one of the main talking points here tonight. Make sure that we can work together so that then the community feels the trust that they can work with CSD on projects. Again, as Julie beat me to the punch again, we have a truck over there that is not antiquated, but old enough to be more of a pain being repaired than buying a new one, but we don't have the money to buy a new one. It was in the budget. It is not there anymore. I just had a meeting with the fire department this morning. And for Los Osos, my goal would be to have a wind generator, and I don't mean the things everybody sees around here. They're vertical. On every house. Solar panels on every house. Electricity. We could fund other parts of the county with our wind and our solar. If we just went and looked for these, the EPA has been putting out millions of dollars asking small communities, would you please become more efficient? Also, and the radical one, find a radical solution to the water source. We are sitting on top of a limited supply of water. We are one of the top three, if not the top county in conserving water, and it is not stopping the intrusion of salt water. So I say, let's get a little radical. Let's go find a new way to do this.
Okay. Marshall?
Thank you. So I'm glad I got to go last because I got to think about this one. So for the community service district, I think I've already discussed this, but I think the top priority is, the two top priorities are not in any order, but sustainable water supply, because clearly making sure that we have a water supply that can support our needs is very, very critical. We have no outside sources of water. Our groundwater basin is our only supply, so we have to be able to make sure that we have a sustainable water supply. Secondly, as I mentioned, and I think a lot of people mentioned, was the financial viability of the district, and to make sure we do everything that we can to make sure that the district's financially viable and that we do everything we can to cut costs so the bills that our consumers are paying are at the minimum possible. I think, and I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but if you look at our water rates and you look at Golden State water rates, our water rates are significantly lower. And that's because we do a much, much better job on making sure that we keep our costs low. The third one, I think, is the credibility of the district through transparency. And I think that's really, really important. And we talked about that. I think as far as Los Osos, I think the number one thing is that the county has a community plan that's very, very responsive to the needs of the community, and it gets adopted. I think because it will make this a livable community and keep it a livable community that we can all be proud of. But making sure that that community plan gets adopted, I think, is very, very important. It's gone through a lot of review at the various committees, a lot of public hearing sessions, a lot of study sessions, and I think that's very, very important. Making it a community we can be proud of, I think, is important. And last but not least, I think the thing that's most important to me is that everybody in this community treats everybody else with respect. I think that's the most important thing I see in our community. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So we are going to do 1 minute closing statements for each. Okay. Looking at her getting the timer ready. Okay. We're going to begin with Vicki. And so this is your closing statement. All right.
Being a CSD director is a management job, and I have the management experience. I would want to continue to strengthen collaborative decision-making and To maintain emergency services at our current and an even higher level, we have to retain the CSD.
Julie?
I support a community conversation to talk about the future of the district. As I rattled off earlier, water, sewer, fire, drainage, lighting, parks and rec, and garbage, we only do a few of those things anymore. I want you, the voters, to be able to vote in the next election on whether or not we need a CSD anymore. I know that's a strong statement. It took me a long time to get here. But you need, and this is what I want to get done in my first year, is to get an analysis that shows the projection of how long the district can last with the revenues that it has and the reserves that it has and the expenses, expected expenses to come before we have to come back to you to raise the rates. You need that analysis so that you can decide if this district is really doing the best for you, the best services at the lowest price.
All right. Tim?
We, and I'm stressing this over and over, we need to be able to move among the citizens of this district and be accessible so that they aren't questioning whether or not we are humans, we're trustworthy, and we can talk to them face to face and not hold meetings and then we have problems later on and they don't understand them. Leaving us without some kind of internal or close-in government, we see what happens with county-only supervision. Prior to CSD, this county went, or this area had growth that it could not sustain, and everyone never took into account that maybe we would not have the 17 inches of water anymore that we used to have for our precipitation. We're less than 10. NOAA is saying we're going to be less than 7 this year. So we need
more
local control.
Okay. Marshall?
Thank you. I'd just like to close by saying I hope that my accomplishments, my accessibility, and my approach to addressing the community's priorities are recognized so that my goal is that every member of our community has the benefit of local representation and they're able to talk to somebody like lives down the street with them. So I think accessibility is important, and I think I've been accessible. You know, I look forward to working with the members of the community, which I've done over the past two terms I've been in office, and really to make, you know, continue our efforts to make Los Osos a better place for all and one that we can all be proud of. And in closing, I would like to thank my fellow candidates for their interest in the district and their participation in the forum, the League of Women Voters for moderating the forum, South Bay Community Center for hosting the forum, AJP for videoing the performance, and last but not least, the residents of our community for their interest in this important office. Thank you.
All right, Steve.
We need a CSD more than ever. The CSD should be seen as a vital part of our community and work with the community to address the concerns and needs of our citizens. I'm tired of the conversation. Repeating a lot of things I said earlier, but the CSD is more than just water, sewer, and all the other things that we are on that list. It needs to be something that represents this community, something that bonds this community together, that represents us to the county. Otherwise, we are just slaves to the county, paying our dues to the county as indentured servants. It's just not right that we should have control over what we want. We should have a say in what we do and who we are and what direction we're going in this county. And without a CSD, we are just nowhere. We are lost without that. And we need to be able to have that control, that ability to be able to have a rudder. And we need this organization more than ever. As much as we shake our heads every time somebody says something about it that we just don't like, and all the history, we need to get all the history behind us. You know, that's in the past. We need to think about what we need to do now and how to move forward. We can solve the problems with our water. We can do other things that we need to do, but we need to move forward and not think about the past.
Okay. All right. Well, thank all of you. I want to thank the candidates, all of them, for this. Let's give them a hand for that. This is not easy to do, I know. So, okay. And thank again the audience for coming and being part of this. Drive home safely, especially when we're hearing sirens going by. So, okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yes, I do.